Welcome, Lund Loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's Johnny.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy Friday. I hope you are doing great. This is episode 136, John Lund Unleashed. We've got all the platforms going this morning. John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. Make sure that you are subscribed. Hit that like button, too, on the broadcast today. Much appreciated. And please make sure you have those alerts on, like tonight when we're going to be doing Bottom of the Pint with Larry Kruger, the Krug Show, as the Giants are in Minnesota, where the Warriors just left. They're going to take on the Twins. We got that conversation to be had today, but there is a ton going on today. So if you're watching on Instagram at John Lund Radio, at John Lund Radio on X, thank you very much. Twitch, Instagram, Facebook, whether it's my personal page or you can join John Lund Unleashed, however you want to do it is great. We would love it if you would migrate over to the page at John Lund Unleashed and join this great community that we have over here. So make sure that you do that. And again, hit that like and hit that alerts button so that you know that you're going to get all this stuff when we go live or when I shoot stuff out, all those kind of things. John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. Make sure that you do that and the Bay Area Sports Collective. Remember, we are brought to us by our good friends at Jeffrey Reappell and Reappell Sports Medicine in San Ramon, California. If you're in the East Bay, just zip on over there. It's really easy. And if you're thinking to yourself, it's too far to go, not at all. My wife and I promise this was happening because I would not lie to you. We were actually having the conversation because she goes, yeah, I heard you talking about Reappell yesterday. And she goes, it really works. You have to tell him it really works. Like, she doesn't lay on the couch in ice anymore, the shoulder, the elbow, her foot. Like I've told you the Las Vegas story before, we're walking around Vegas. She goes, I couldn't be doing this without Dr. Reappell. She does the stem cell treatment. It is absolutely great. Dr. Reappell did that on Bartolo Colon. He was one of the first in the entire state of California to do the stem cell treatment. So let's call him an expert because he is. It's Jeffrey Reappell. If you click on that QR code right there, you'll go straight to the website and you can get yourself an appointment today. It will change your life. Stem cell. I'm doing the low T. Like I said, I've had low T for a long time, and all they do at Dr. Reappell's office is short, quick blood test. They get you right to the level that you need to be at. It's not some crazy thing like that. You're going to feel great. You're going to lose weight faster, metabolism. At least that's been my experience with it. You're in a better mood. You got more energy. You just feel like you used to feel. And I used to do it, and you'd go in there weekly, and it's like, you don't want to do that kind of stuff. So every few months, I go in there, real quick procedure. It's really easy and simple, and you're going to feel like yourself again in no time. So check out Dr. Jeffrey Reappell, whether it's low T, testosterone treatment, or the stuff that my wife is doing with stem cell. It is absolutely life-changing. They do all sorts of other great procedures as well. So if you just click on that QR code, you will get to the website. You can Google it, look it up as well. Dr. Jeffrey Reappell, Reappell Sports Medicine. They're right there in San Ramon, California. Reappell is R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E. Dr. Jeffrey Reappell. Make sure that you check it out. Either those procedures or any of the other procedures that they do, you're absolutely going to feel great. Dr. Jeffrey Reappell, fine sponsor of the program. All right, let's get to stuff. Last night, not great. The reason I was late today is lots of great video and beyond trying to get some stuff from Steph Curry and how he's feeling. Jimmy's explanation, if you watched the post game last night, he was not exactly Batman. He played more of a Robin role, kicking it out the shooters. He's the guy. He's got to be Batman. So we'll get into that conversation, and he has an explanation why. You see JK and TJD on the chalkboard today. That's Jonathan Kuminga and Trayce Jackson-Davis. Both should be in the rotation in this series. I tell you this all the time. It's about matchups in a series, and without Steph Curry, you got to throw everything against the wall. And I think that's what Steve Kerr was doing in game number two, just you know, everything's out the window. And we said that last night on the postgame show. And then Steve said it after the game, like, we got to rip down the house and rebuild it. That's kind of what they've got to do. And they got to do it on the fly. They don't have time. So who's playing well, they've got to keep in the game. Who's not playing well, they got to get them out of it. Got to get them out of the rotation. Like, I don't need to see, and I like Moses Moody, but I don't need to see him in the rotation anymore. I've seen it for long enough in the playoffs. He's just not ready. Whatever the case may be, he's just not ready. Pat Spencer, nice story. I'm sure he's a great guy. Can't be in the rotation. Sorry. It's just this time of year, you've got to make quick, decisive decisions, especially with Steph Curry out. It may change it will change when he comes back. But right now, guys like Kuminga and TJD and their athleticism, and in TJD's case, his length and size, they've got to use him in this series. So that's not just a one-night thing. I think that Steve Kerr was throwing a lot against the wall, but we'll get into that as well. And then the big story is Dre's night, from what you saw on the floor with the officials to the post-game where he was very angry, to being on the bike and being called certain things. Part of that's the NBA's fault, but we'll get into Dre's night as well. We'll hit up some 49ers. Rookie camps are going on right now. The OTAs, Brock's hanging around. That's pretty cool. That must, again, mean that they're going in the right direction as far as that contract. I can't tell you how badly I want the contract to be done so I can stop talking about this and people can stop emailing me or hitting me up in certain ways, however it is. And I'd love to be asked questions and certain things, but this whole thing about Brock is driving me crazy. He's getting the money. It's going to get done. It's going to get done before camp. These national guys just have nothing to talk about. But anyway, Robert Saleh is back, and just his very presence gives you confidence. So we'll play some of that cuts for you. Brant Boer, the new special teams coordinator, probably out of Central Casting Dictionary definition. You look it up in the dictionary. There is a picture of Brant Boer. He looks, sounds, and acts like a special teams coach. But the big key is they'll fix the return game. They got about eight guys who could return kicks and punts. They've got enough guys in this offseason that they signed to cover kicks. I think they'll be better in that regard. But all of that, to me, is secondary to fixing Jake Moody. And he has a theory on Jake Moody. I'm not sure I buy it, but we'll go into that. Random stuff happens throughout the show. If you're new around here, it doesn't take much to get me off the road, but we get back on as quickly as we possibly can. So anyway, with that as the backdrop and it being a Friday, thank you for coming in today. Hurley Bird, it is great to see you, my friend. Baba Booey is here this morning. Colin, 831, good morning, peeps. Hello, Dom, good to see you, man. We'll be using your logo tonight. Oh, look, there's Walter. I got a story. Walter probably already knows the story because the person who, well, anyway, I'll have to talk to Walter off the air. I've got a Walter story, but I got to talk to him first about it. Let's see. Joy is here today. Jake is here today. Taylor, it is great to see you. Boom, 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 boom. Who else do we have today? There's Walter twice. Jeez, it must be a big day. 49ers Faithful is here today. Good morning to you. And like I said, the Nutter is here. That means it's a good day. Remember, today I'll have the show for you. And then tonight with Krug, bottom of the pint, where we don't talk bad about the Giants no matter what. Remember, Rockin' New Era is here. Chris, it's good to see you. Kenny, it is always great to see you, man. Yeah, we are going to talk about what the hell happened last night. Believe me, we will get to what the hell happened. It was an exhibition game. They just kind of threw everybody out. They had played 13 players by the end of the first quarter in this game. Good morning, folks. I always like that word. Good morning, folks. Let's do it. It is great to see everybody. Good morning, good morning, good morning. If I did not acknowledge you or see you in the chat room, make sure that you say, hey, dude, what's going on? Say hello to me, will you? So anyway, if you are not in the chat room, you're going, what's going on? Who's he talking to? Come on over. If you're on X at John Lund Radio, if you're on Instagram at John Lund Radio, if you're watching on Twitch or LinkedIn or Facebook or any of those other places, come over. Be part of the community at John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. All right, let's get to everything. First and foremost, before we get to the game, because this is the most important information, that's when Steph Curry is going to return, right? So Steph talked yesterday during shoot around, and this is what he said in terms of a timeline. So before we get to the game last night, which wasn't great, and I've got theories and all sorts of things. We have tons of sound. We'll get into the Draymond stuff, which is a big story today, both locally and nationally. But here's Steph Curry. This is the number one story regardless. How's Steph's strain, and when will he return?
Kind of viewing this time.
This is new, and from all that I'm learning about how quickly you can get back, there has to be a healing process. It's just the way the body works. You can't accelerate it more than what it's telling you. So it'll be one of those after a week, like really reevaluating every day to kind of understand when it's safe just to even think about playing, let alone like how much can you push it.
You've never had any type of hamstring issues in your life?
No, it's the first one.
All right, so the thing that kind of stinks about this injury, to be honest, is it's not a pain tolerance thing. It's not let's shoot it up kind of a thing. It's not, hey, if you play on it, it can't get worse. It's all of those things. He can totally rip it, and then he can be done. It can get worse. You can't rush it, as he said. It's not one of those things where it's like, man, doc, I can play on this ankle. You know, I sprained my ankle. I can play on it, shoot it up, whatever. It's a pain tolerance thing. I got to be there for my guys. I'm going to play. It's not that. It's not an ankle. It's not a wrist. It's not his thumb. It's not, you know, it's not any of those things where some of it he can adjust to, and it's a pain tolerance issue. It's none of those things. A strain like this, it's just a matter of time, and he's 37 years old, and Steph Curry's in unbelievable shape. I've had his trainer on my shows on the radio almost 100 times. Now, maybe not 100, but probably 20 times, and he's in amazing shape, and for a, you have to put a qualifier on it for him. For a 37-year-old man, he's Superman, but still he's 37. If he's 22 or 23, this probably comes back a lot faster, but he's just got to be patient, and fans have to be patient, and that's just the way it's going to be. So the reason I wanted to play that is that's not a great prognosis, but that's what a strain like this is. So with that as kind of the backdrop, what Steve Kerr did last night, and I don't know that I necessarily agree with it, especially at this time of year, but I understand what he did. I think he should know his team well enough to where you shouldn't be out of the game. So they were down 13-0. They were down basically most of the game. I don't know why you have to test a guy like Jonathan Kuminga at this point of the season. You don't have a lot of options. And I knew that Kuminga could come in and play that way. You just had to give him confidence. You just had to sit him down. And I think this is what Steve Kerr did before the game and say, look, JK, we're not taking you out. You know, there's an open spot in the rotation. You're going to be in the rotation. So just play hard and play well and don't worry about it. Don't worry about me yanking you. Don't worry about a defensive lapse. He has the most upside in this series. You have to know that if you're Steve Kerr. And yeah, he hasn't played well to this point. And I've been very critical of him because I think that if I'm Jonathan Kuminga, to hell with the Warriors. I'm not going to play here next year. I get it. But I'm going to try out for the other teams. I'm going to play hard, work hard, rebound, scrap. I'm going to show all the rest of the league who might give me a big contract that the Warriors are wrong and I'm right. That I can play hard, that I can scrap, that I can rebound, that I can defend. They all know, we all know he can score. You know, that wasn't a surprise that he came out last night and got, what, 18? Like, that doesn't surprise me whatsoever. Led the team in scoring, you know, at half with 10. That didn't surprise me whatsoever. So if I'm Steve Kerr, why did I have to test him out last night? Or TJD? TJD is long, big. He's exactly what you need in this series. Series are about matchups. You may not use TJD at all in a certain series, but you're looking at the Minnesota series going, yeah, he's a guy we can use. I don't need to go through Quentin Post. I don't need to see what Pat Spencer can do. I know Moses Moody is just not up to the challenge of the playoffs this year. Maybe next year will be different. But he hasn't played well in a number of games. I don't need to see it. Now, there's certain guys who are going to play regardless. Like Buddy Hield before the Steph Curry injury, he's kind of, yeah, maybe we'll play him a few minutes. Or if he's rolling, he's going to play a lot. Well, last night he wasn't, but they had to play him. I get it. Jimmy Butler last night, you know, he didn't assume the role that he needed to assume, and I'll play that in just a second here. But I want to stay on Steve Kerr for just a second. Steve last night used that, and I want to jump out to and give credit to, I think it was, who said that? Who did I just pop up? Kenny said it. The bottom line is that he used that as an exhibition game last night, and you can't do that. You need to get one of these games. You're probably not going to get two, but think about it like this. I think their best case scenario is 2-2, and there'd be three games left in the series, and two would be at Minnesota. And that's, I'm saying that 2-2 and then getting Steph Curry back. But that's assuming the hamstring plays ball, and we're not sure that it's going to. So if I'm Steve Kerr, I've got to have a strategy here. And the strategy last night was let's throw as much stuff against the wall as we can and see who can play. You're telling me in the playoffs that you're not sure? Because I could have told you before last night, Jonathan Kuminga should have been in the rotation, and TJD should have been in the rotation, and I don't want to see Pat Spencer anymore. Nothing against Pat Spencer. Great story. Lacrosse player. I know it. Don't have to tell me it. I get it. He can't play at this level right now. He can't. He just can't. I get it that he scraps. Gui Santos, thanks for coming. No. We're getting a rotation tight. I know that Steve, and I'm going to play this for you, is going to throw everything against the wall and see what things fit. You've had a number of games to do this. You know what players should and could step up. You don't need to throw everything against the wall. This is game two that you just gave away because you were basically like a boxer and you fought the whole fight. Like, let's check this out and see what works. And I don't get that. I don't understand that. You know your players by this point of the season, and you have to go. You just have to say, look, Jonathan Kuminga is the most talented upside guy we have. He's in the rotation. TJD at times in his career has been a really valuable player for the Warriors. What he did last night was not a surprise to anybody. The type of energy he brought, the toughness he brought, the rebounding he brought, the defense he brought, the length. That's what he does. That's who he is. That fits in this series. I should be the one going, geez, I wonder what they're going to do. He's throwing everything against the wall in game two and essentially giving that game away to Minnesota. Now, there was an opportunity when they pulled 62-55 in the third quarter in which they had some opportunities, and then Minnesota hit the pedal to the metal, and they blew him out again. But Anthony Edwards, for the second straight game, and I know he scored 20, he didn't play well. You know, Julius Randle played well. Naz Reid hurt him at times. But they didn't play awesome last night. There was an opportunity there. And I just think that hodgepodging it around and throwing all these different guys in at this point of the season, I could have told you before the game Pat Spencer wasn't ready. I could have told you before the game that Moses Moody wasn't ready. I could have told you before the game that you had to use JK because he's your most talented upside guy and you have no choice. The fact that they felt like they had to throw all these guys against the wall and see who would stick. You should know that at this point of the season. You should know who could fill in for who. Jonathan Kuminga, for example, he doesn't fit with the big boys and is going to get traded in the offseason. But when there's an opening to do what he does, so I've said this for days and days and days. Hey, Kuminga, the way to get on the floor is scrap, rebound, defend. That's not who he is. Who he is, Steph Curry's out of the game. There's an opportunity in a hole for scoring. That's what he can do. So put him in that role. Like, how do I know that? And Steve Kerr's throwing stuff against the wall. I love Steve Kerr. He's an amazing coach and an amazing guy. But I didn't agree with that last night. I didn't agree with the whole throw it against the wall and see what sticks thing. You should have a plan. Steph Curry goes down. What's the plan? It's not a great one, but you should have a plan other than, damn, we didn't. Who knew this was going to happen? Now what? I don't know. Let's throw 13 guys in the first quarter and see what happens. That's not a plan, man. That's a hope. That was ugly, man. All right, let's start through this stuff. Give me your thoughts on the whole thing from last night. Now, let's start here. Before I get into Steve Kerr, I'm going to just kind of take this in order. So to me, it started, having said what I said about Steve Kerr, here's where it started last night, and it was thoroughly confusing, I got to be honest. Jimmy Butler has carried teams before. He was the Steph Curry. He was the Batman on his Miami teams. He's been the alpha male on every team he's been on. Like, Minnesota couldn't handle him, so he was out of Minnesota quickly. Philadelphia, Joel Embiid's like, who's this nut? Who's this crazy-ass guy? Like, he automatically assumes the alpha dog role on every team he's ever been on, except for this one. And he has said loudly and proudly and many, many times since he arrived on February 6th that, look, I'm cool being Robin to Batman. Totally cool. And that works. And that did work. But last night, he would get into the lane. It was the weirdest thing. He would get into the lane and he wouldn't even look at the basket. It was like Ben Simmons. He would get into the lane, not even look at the basket, and kick it out to somebody. Dude, you're Batman. You score there. Like, you take it to the rim. There was a breakaway, you probably remember, off a turnover. He's under the basket. Like, dude, lay it up. Pump fake, whatever it is. You're going to get fouled. Just get to the line, get 2 points, whatever it is. He stops, kicks it out, and then they have to reset the offense. It's like, you just got a turnover. You're on the break. Score. Like, he was way too unselfish last night. Incredibly unselfish last night. And I get it. You're trying to get others involved, especially early in the game, to build their confidence. And I've talked about this all the time. Jordan does it. LeBron does it. Lots of different guys. They want to get others involved and get their confidence going, knowing that they can get theirs at any time. In the Houston series, they wanted to get Fred VanVleet's confidence going because they knew a guy like Şengün could get going anytime he wanted against the Warriors. So I get it. You're trying to get others involved, get their confidence going. Then when their confidence is up, you start going because you know you can get yours anytime, and now you're cooking with gas. So I get what Jimmy's theory was. But when it was proven early in that game that nobody could hit a damn shot, you got to take over. Like, that's part of this theory is, okay, I gave them a chance. Now it's my time to keep this team in the game. And he did it early. He hit their first couple of shots. And then he started saying, okay, I'm going to go to the rim. I'm going to get in the paint, and then I'm not even going to look at the rim. I'm going to kick it out to a shooter who then, of course, missed. Here's Jimmy's theory behind it last night after the game.
It comes where, you know, your people that are saying whatever, supposed to score 40 or 43, whatever the case may be, I'm capable of it. I can do it. But I love making sure that my guys are comfortable, passing the ball to them, taking the right shots at the right time. But we'll talk about it. If that may be needed, who knows?
It's needed. I get it. Early in the game, and this will happen in game three, early in the game, Jimmy Butler is going to defer. He's going to try to get the ball to other guys. That's okay. I'm fine with it. But you're down 13-0. And then he finally had a couple of possessions where he scored. But it was just constant into the lane, not even looking at the basket. Into the lane, not even looking at the basket. And I'm like, dude, you've got to be the man tonight. You've got to be selfish. There are certain times in sports where you've given your teammates a chance and it's time to take over. And then you can take the pedal off the metal for a second once they catch up to you. But, and again, I hate using Jordan as the example because he's the ultimate example, but that's what he did. And he was the best ever at it, where he'd get others involved. And then he would say, okay, you guys aren't on my level tonight. I'm going to take over for a minute. Then they would catch back up or whatever the case may be. But I understand what Jimmy's saying. I understand what Jimmy did last night. But if I'm Steve Kerr and I'm talking on the plane last night, maybe they slept all the way home. But if I'm Steve Kerr, I'm going to call Jimmy up because the base of the house with Steph Curry out is Jimmy Butler. He's got to start it. And then what happens is maybe a defense can adjust and then those guys can work off of you. But you've got to decide, look, that 40 or 43 or whatever you just said, you don't want to do it in a selfish fashion. Kobe was great at this as well. You don't want to do it in a selfish fashion. But if nobody's on your level on a certain night, you've got to save your team. You've got to play a certain role. And your role is not Robin, it's Batman. And so you've got to decide right away. I guess nobody else is gonna bang it tonight. I got to get it going. So that's where it starts with me, with Jimmy Butler. I think he's got to be more aggressive and look to the rim and look to score more in game number two if he gives them a chance early, which I'm fine with. But then if they're not showing that they can do it, then you got to start taking over the ball game. And he's done that before in his career and can do it, as he said. The other big story beyond Draymond Green, which we'll get to in a second, is Jonathan Kuminga. Kuminga can score. And I've sat there this whole time and said, if you want to play, you got to play a Santos role, like grab rebounds, be tough, play hard, get on the floor. That's not Kuminga's game, and it never will be. But that was the open role. And so he wasn't in the rotation. Now Steph Curry goes down. There's a new poster up, Help Wanted, and the Help Wanted was scorer, inquire within. And Jonathan Kuminga ran to Steve Kerr and goes, I can do that. I can fill that role. Pick me. And that's what ultimately they had to do. And this is where I'm saying, how did you not know that going into the game? I know the things Kuminga cannot do, will not do, but however you want to term it. But I know one thing, he can score. And I told you, and I wrote this at johnlundunleashed.com before the series, or after Curry got hurt. And I put the five reasons they could survive, and one of them, and number four, I think, on the list was the forgotten man, which is Jonathan Kuminga. And I pointed out that in 13 starts in December, he played 31 minutes because of injuries. He averaged 21 points and 6 boards. And among those games in December, he scored 21 points and grabbed 7 boards against Minnesota. He can do that. If there's a scoring role open, he can do that. So there was no, let's try him out. Look, you have to instill the confidence in him and just say, look, this is the role, and it's open, and you can do it, and I know you can do it, so I'm not going to pull you out for a dumb defensive play. I'm not going to pull you out for a slow rotation. I'm not going to pull you out because you gave up an offensive rebound. I'm not going to maybe I'll pull you out if you're lazy and you do something stupid mentally, but Steve Kerr has to go to JK and say, you're in the rotation. You're going to be a scorer in this series. I need you. So don't look over at the bench. Don't lose confidence. Go, 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 go. I'll tell you if there's an issue. But for now, you're in. So don't even look over at me. So here's Jonathan Kuminga after the game talking about getting some run last night.
Staying strong mentally. Just those three, and I think just being a good teammate. That's the biggest things, that keeps me ready.
I give Kuminga a lot of credit because I've talked about this. In a couple of games in the Houston series, Jimmy got hurt. There was an opportunity there. He just wasn't ready. He wasn't mentally ready. And he talked about it. He's a young guy. And I think all of us at that age, not all of us, some people are stronger than others. I know me, just speaking for myself, which is all I can do. I wouldn't have been ready. I would have been pissed. I would have been bitter. All those kind of things, but it's the NBA and it's kind of a different kind of a thing. You're on a public stage and you're trying out for the other teams. So if I'm his agent, if I'm his friend, if I'm his girlfriend, if I'm, you know, he talked about after the game that he and TJD have become close to this process because Trace Jackson Davis is going, why am I not playing? And he's right. He's a good player too. So they've kind of, you know, commiserated over the fact that they're both not in the rotation. So look, he wasn't ready in the Houston series. He is now. So I don't know if Steve Kerr did say something to him or whatever the case may be. But if I'm Steve Kerr and I want to help him because there's a mental game to be played here and Kuminga is playing a roller coaster ride, I would tell JK, and he probably already has, that, look, you're playing. Make a mistake, playing. Screw up, you're playing. Like, we need your 18 to 20 points. Is he going to go 8 for 11 every single night? Maybe not. He had a couple of looks, corner three looks that he missed that, you know, he's not a three-point guy. But he's going to gain some confidence. He's got to be able to play with Jimmy Butler, who's a similar type of player playing in the mid-range and not the distance, but he was out on the perimeter a little bit. But look, he can get to the rim and he can drive on anybody. He's got that kind of quickness and athleticism, so get out on the floor. I'm not into an ISO game, but there's got to be ways to make this offense better because there were stretches where Minnesota wasn't even really good offensively, but the Warriors really couldn't make a lot of headway because you can give Minnesota credit, and you should. Minnesota was good defensively last night, but still, Kuminga's going to play. So it comes down to that. The other thing, TJD, and I don't have anything from TJD, but he gave him a ton last night. He's going to have to play a bunch of minutes as his total minutes. He had 19 minutes. He went 6 of 6 on the floor in 19 minutes. I'd bump that up over 20. Quentin Post, they saw early in this game, he played 3 minutes and went, okay, that's not going to work. So I get it. They still haven't pulled Rudy Gobert out of the middle like they normally do and make him come out and make him pay because he doesn't like to come out. And they can get shots over Rudy Gobert. So they've still got to do that kind of a thing. That's not going to be really TJD's game. I mean, he can hit from the mid-range. But what he did last night is he neutralized Minnesota on the boards. He played a lot of good defense around the rim. He ran the floor very well. Pick and roll stuff. He had a couple of dunks. The way he played, he earned spots last night. So the only good side from maybe what Steve Kerr did, which was throwing a bunch of guys against the wall and decided who was going to stick, was it maybe he has a better idea, but I could have told you this. And for example, as I'm looking at the numbers last night, as far as minutes played were concerned, they're low just because, you know, they got blown out. So Draymond stayed under 30, and we'll get into Draymond in a minute. Jimmy Butler, 34. Quentin Post, I still believe in Quentin Post and think he can be valuable in this series from distance as a big against Rudy Gobert, so I'm not throwing him out. Buddy Hield, we knew after the last couple of games, and I wrote this in the top five at johnlundunleashed.com, that he had to do his best Steph Curry impersonation, 5 of 14, 4 of 9, not getting it done. A lot of that was in the second half, and it was trash stats, basically. Podziemski's got to put it together. Again, I put that in the top five. Brandon Podziemski in April was incredible. Brandon Podziemski had a 26-point game against the Rockets. And I don't know why he can't throw it in the ocean right now. 4 of 9, 1 of 4 from 3. He just doesn't look confident. He just doesn't. That's it. He had open looks. And I was thinking to myself, you know, with the tilt of the floor without Steph Curry, how's that going to affect guys like, you know, Podziemski and Hield? Well, Hield got the Steph Curry treatment last night. So I understand why he struggled. But Brandon Podziemski still had open looks and he just couldn't hit them. And that's going to kill the Warriors. So guys like Podziemski, when they have open looks, look, shooting comes and goes. I get it. It's not his fault. But Podziemski's got to hit shots. Quentin Post, when he's in there, he has one job, hit shots. But Podziemski's going to play the minutes. I mean, last night, he played 33 minutes. And again, he got pulled because the game was out of hand. But Brandon Podziemski, especially without Steph Curry, he's going to probably replay 37, 38 minutes a night. That means he's going to get a bunch of open looks. And Minnesota clearly has said, beat us if you can, because we're not going to adjust to you because you haven't done anything in this series. He was good in the Houston game. He just hasn't been able to throw it in the ocean from three. In April, and again, I put these numbers up, he averaged 17 points per game. Shot 48% from three and 51% from the floor. Where's that guy? Because maybe sometimes guys, when they lose a guy like Curry, they just put too much pressure on themselves. And maybe when they play looser, and that's something I would tell Steve. If I was Steve Kerr, I'd tell Podziemski, dude, just relax, man. And, you know, because we need you to hit these shots because they're allowing you to get open shots. He is open. When the ball's moving and it ends up in his hands, he's open a lot. And he's just not knocking down the shots. So I'm not putting all the pressure on him. It's a combination of things. It's Steve Kerr's got to stick to a rotation. It's Jimmy Butler's got to be Batman, not Robin, and not be so cognizant of trying to get others involved, especially if they're not hitting shots. It's got to be JK saying, it's got to be Kerr saying to JK, look, man, you're in. Same thing with Terrace Jackson Davis. You're in. Don't worry about it. You make a mistake, whatever. Don't care. Just go. Just go. And then Brandon Podziemski, I don't know, man. Stay in the gym, shoot a couple hundred extra ones, whatever the case may be. We got to do this. You got to hit these shots or else we're not winning this series. Other guys, you know, like I said, I don't need to see Kevin Knox at this point. I don't need to see Braxton Key at this point. I know if the game is a blowout, they're going to come into the game. Gui Santos, no thanks. Just doesn't work anymore. I'm sorry, man. You worked in the Houston series. You gave us a few good minutes. We need more than that now. GP2 last night, he's always going to be in the rotation because of his defensive abilities. Didn't give you much more than that. And then Moody, 16 minutes. Spencer, 14 minutes. No. Like, if you're going to use what you did last night, which is throw everything against the wall and try to decide who can stick and who won't, Pat Spencer is not a rotational player in the playoffs. I don't care if Steph Curry's not playing, nor is Moses Moody at this point. And I like Moses Moody, but come on, man. What else does he have to prove? That he ain't ready for it. He's not ready for the moment. So there you go. There's my diatribe. Give me your thoughts before I play some stuff. I got Steve Kerr for you, and then we're going to get all into this Draymond Green situation. Let me play Steve for you, and then I'll get out to the chat line and let me know what you think. Here's Steve talking about throwing everything against the wall last night.
It's not as simple as, you know, Steph's out, so we just replace him with one person. The domino effect of Steph being out led to Trace playing tonight because we need the scoring. We need the finishing, and you saw what he did out there. Same thing with J.K. You know, we had found a formula over the last couple of months, and obviously we're having a lot of success. But without Steph, the formula completely goes out the window, and we've got to figure out the next.
All right, so there you go. And look, that's what he did last night. He just decided game two was just going to be all about who might fit with whom. Again, like I said, at this point of the year, have you not had a bunch of meetings? What if Steph goes down? What if Draymond goes down? What if Jimmy goes down? What if, like, you haven't had those meetings? You haven't had those discussions? Uh-oh, if Steph goes down, we'll just throw everything against the wall. Was that the plan? I find it very difficult to believe that the plan is, if Steph Curry goes down, that we're going to throw everything against the wall. Rather than saying, okay, here's what our rotation is going to be. You know, JK's been out of it, but he's a scorer. TJD has been out of it, but he gives us, you know, scoring, rebounding, dunker position, pick and roll. All the length, which we need in this series. They needed him in this series anyway. So I was confused by the throw it against the wall theory. Look, I'm sitting on my couch drinking a beer going, Pat Spencer shouldn't be in the game. Moses Moody shouldn't be in the game. You know, there's things that need to be done. Jimmy Butler, as great as he is, you got to sit down at a timeout and walk over to Jimmy Butler and say, dude, all due respect, I love you, but stop driving into the lane and look and driving sideways into the lane and looking for somewhere to pass it. Go to the fucking rim hard. Feel me? I mean, that should have been Steve Kerr last night. You know, I mean, he kept driving. I've never seen anything like it. Kept driving into the lane and the basket's here and he's looking over here. Like, where am I going to throw it to another guy to chuck up a brick? Like, at some point, you're Jimmy Butler. You're Batman, dude. The guy that's Batman, I get it, is over there and he's in street clothes. But for now, you just changed costumes. Stop kicking it out to Pat Spencer for a three. Stop it. I didn't know if Pat Spencer took a three last night, but you get it. You get what I'm saying. All right. Let me have your thoughts on everything, and then we'll get into Draymond Green, because this Draymond's going to take a minute. Draymond's going to take a minute. I want to get everybody's thoughts on that. Oh, yeah, by the way, yeah, I did hear this morning. BART shut down. Hopefully you're at home today, man. BART shut down today? What's going on with that? Because does everybody remember? This was crazy. How many years ago was it that there was a BART strike? And it was the worst because we were coming down. You know, I would go into, at that point, I think it was with 95.7, and I would go in there every single day. And then everybody was doing like carpools and all these different things, and or you're taking maybe the ferry over or something like that. But I started driving in. And when, you know, there's no BART. So, I mean, it was taking you 2 hours to drive in. There were so many people, and it was absolutely bananas. I just remember, like, I think it was in the summer. I think it might have been in the summer. And I remember going to my boss at the time and going, hey, man, it's just crazy getting in here. Is there any possible way that I could do this stuff from home? You know, and again, there was no video at that point or anything. It was just taking a broadcast sheet at home. We had plenty of those. And he's like, absolutely not. There's no way. And then, you know, pandemic years later comes around and everybody's doing it from home. But he's like, absolutely not. We can't do that. And I'm just like, It's taking me 2 hours to get in every single day. I can't remember how long the BART strike was, but it was brutal. Oh, was that brutal, man. Brutal. Anyway, very cool. Good morning to James. Good to see you. I saw you pop in, Christian. Did I say hello to you, Christian, this morning? Colin, I saw you earlier. Hi, Scott. I think I did not see you earlier this morning, so it's good to see everybody this morning. And again, got into the Warriors. Would love it to get your thoughts on last night. So far, this is what we've done in the first 35 minutes of the show. It is episode 136. Curry timeline, even he doesn't know with this injury. This is his first major muscle injury of his career. Jimmy Butler's got to be reminded that he is now playing the role of Steph Curry, and he's the number one guy. So stop turning, driving sideways into the lane, and then kicking it out to somebody who's going to miss a shot. Good for JK, Jonathan Kuminga. I've been hard on Jonathan Kuminga because I don't think mentally he's been ready for games, and he hadn't been in the Houston series, but he stepped up big time last night. And if I'm the Warriors and if I'm Steve Kerr, and I'm telling him, keep going, man. We need you at least until this guy comes back. And it's good for him because in the offseason, maybe somebody's going to see this potential and give him the contract that the Warriors won't. TJD, I've always scratched my head on that one. I get what Quentin Post does. I understand that Draymond Green against certain teams, you're going to play him at the five. I understand that because of the lineup construction, you've got to have enough shooters on the floor. So, you know, you put TJD on the floor, then there's another non-shooter, and Draymond's a non-three-point shooter, and Jimmy Butler's a non-three-point shooter. So yeah, you can't overload it. And I understand there's only five guys on a floor, but I can't imagine that with his talent, TJD isn't a rotational player with the Warriors. Quentin Post, I understand why he's passed him up, because when you get, again, Jimmy Butler is a big dynamic, but he's not a three-point shooter. So then you've got to find a position. Normally what Jimmy plays, small forward, is a shooting position. So you've got to find somebody else at a different position who's a shooter to kind of balance everything out. So then that's where Quentin Post comes in. But Quentin Post in this series, to me, he's hit a couple of shots, but he doesn't, I don't know that he fits in this series. And I think TJD does fit more in this series. So, and he talked about, we needed more scoring on the floor, so we got TJD. I think he has that kind of reversed, which is you brought JK in for more of the scoring. TJD is more of the defender, pick and roll guy. Like, he can, you know, he can do some really good things, but I think those guys should be in the rotation. And I think that as we look at this game last night, okay, you did a lot of kind of sparring and those kind of things, and you messed with it and you said, okay, but next game, game three, there shouldn't be this. It should be back to a rotation of you're in at this point, you're out at this point, you're in at this point, you're out at this point. Like, that's, you're back to a rotation. You threw everything against the wall. Game three should be about, okay, we know who can play and who can't. We know whose strengths and weaknesses work or don't in this series, and we're going to go forward with the guys. Okay, we lost Steph Curry. Now we're going to go forward with the guys over these next two games. Hopefully he's back for game five, and hopefully you're at worst tied at two games apiece, but you've got to get a rotation in place for game three. I mean, there's just no doubt, to me at least. What else do we have today? Anything else before we move on to Draymond? And this is going to be interesting. I would love to get your opinion on what happened last night with Draymond. There you go. See Nutter? Look at Nutter coming through, man. 40 minutes, scored 26 in game four. Since then, 16 to 42. Like I said, sometimes shots come and go, but the frustrating part with, and thanks for that, for those numbers, Nutter. The thing that's frustrating about Podziemski is they're open shots. Like, they didn't have Steph Curry for a game and a half. I understand that, but Podziemski has had a lot of open shots. And even in this series, even last night without Steph Curry, he had open shots. And they're just not going in. And that's where I know that Steve's messing with the rotations. He's not taking Podziemski out. Podziemski's not going to be out of the rotation. He does too many other things. He's a good rebounder. He's a ball handler with Steph not being in there. He takes the burden off Jimmy in that way. So look, he can do a lot of different things. So he's going to be in there. He's not an optional piece. JK can be an optional piece. TJD can be an optional piece. Some of the other guys, if they're hitting, they'll play more or less. But he's playing. Like, he's playing 35, 40 minutes a night. That's just the way it's going to be. So he's got to start hitting some shots. He's got it, because what that does is that gets some of the defense off of Jimmy. Because one thing I will say about Jimmy is Jade McDaniels is a really good defensive player. So you're watching the game last night and you're thinking, okay, without Steph Curry, you don't have the rotation, you don't have the gravitational pull. And here their best defender is on the guy who's supposed to be your best offensive player now, who's going to carry the load. And you got to give Jaden McDaniels, and I should have done that earlier, you got to give Jaden McDaniels some love for the way that he played last night against Jimmy Butler. He's just a really good defender. But still, that doesn't mean Jimmy can't score what he can score. I still think he can do it. All right, let's get to Dre's night. We're in the middle right there. This is a weird night for Draymond Green. So here's Steve Kerr. So let me back up a little bit. So Draymond Green, very, very similar play than what happened in the Houston series with Fred VanVleet. So he's trying to pass the ball, and he gets hit, and then he flails his arms out. And in the case of the Houston series, you saw it. He hits VanVleet in the face. He goes down. Same thing last night. He's flailing out of control and is passing the ball, and he hits Naz Reid in the face. And last night, unlike the Houston game, which I think because he had already had an issue before, so they didn't want to kick him out of the game, but he gets a technical foul, which I think is really weird. I think that's a flagrant foul, but they called it a technical foul, which a technical foul is usually when you go after the official, but whatever. And he's getting very, very close. Technical fouls, flagrant fouls, those combinations, he's like one away from getting a suspension. So that's almost a foregone conclusion. And hopefully it doesn't happen while Steph Curry is out, because then you have Draymond Green out and Steph Curry out. And for some weird reason, you can look through the time. Steph, for some reason, when Steph isn't on the floor, Draymond loses it more and he gets kicked out and all those kind of things. It's happened a number of times throughout his career. He says he can keep it under control. Last night, again, he didn't. So he gets the foul, the flagrant foul, and it was flagrant. You have to be in control of your body. It's in the NBA rule book. Just because you flail, you've got to be in control of your body. That's part of the rule book. So for the second time in, what, three or four games, he's not in control of his body. He's flailing out of control. He's done this a number of times. And Draymond Green can say that there are Draymond Green rules and other rules and that he's being picked on and all these kind of things. I don't agree with that. I think that last night, the foul on Naz Reid committed the foul, Draymond Green with the, they called it a technical foul. He was out of control. And that's not an excuse. He was out of control against VanVleet. He was out of control against Naz Reid. You can disagree with me and we're totally cool and we can still be friends. That's just how I saw it, all right? That's how I saw the play. You've got to be in control of your body. So stop flailing out of control. They're calling the foul. You don't have to flail. And so when people say that Draymond Green's got to play a certain way, okay, I'll buy it to a certain extent, but nobody else does that. Nobody else, when they get reached in on, hits the guy in the face or kicks the guy in the nuts or, you know, wrestles the guy to the ground, or Tari Eason's case, kicks Tari Eason in the face. Like, those things don't happen with other players. So when Draymond Green thinks that they're out picking on him, I can't buy it, you know? And I like Draymond Green, and I understand that he's a major, major part of the championships that they've won. And, oh, well, it happened, you know, against LeBron James, the whole teabag thing, you know, they baited him into it. That's what teams do. It's on their chalkboard. I tell you that all the time. But he's got to stay in control of his body. Okay, so that's one thing. That's just one element of it. So he goes over to the bench, and he knows damn well at that time that they're going to call some sort of a flagrant or technical, in this case, on Draymond Green. He knows it. And for some reason, most of this series, most of this season, as he's gotten older, he's been able to control himself. But last night, he's very lucky. Well, they lost anyway, but he's very lucky in that he's going after the official and he's screaming at him. And apparently he said, you know, that's bullshit. And you're going after him in that certain way. And I thought to myself, he's getting kicked out. I mean, he's and maybe he's trying to get kicked out because Curry's not there. Well, Steph has to come off the bench in street clothes to calm him down. And finally, Steve Kerr has to say, Draymond, you're not, like, we got to take you out of the game. Like, you got to go sit down and calm down. So again, when Steph Curry's not in a game and Jimmy Butler's here and Jimmy Butler's a leader, there's no doubt, but you've got to keep your composure. Your young players are watching you. So if Draymond Green, who's a team leader and always telling me what to do, I'm a player on the team. I'm a young player on the team. Draymond's always putting his arm around me and taking me aside and telling me what to do. And he's yelling at me on the court that I missed a defensive rotation, and he's doing it in a demonstrative fashion. And, you know, there's all these, and then I watch him in a critical part of a series and he's blowing his stack. I can't have it. Like, I just can't have it. So I'm sorry. I know that there are Draymond Green rules, but I think he's earned that reputation in a negative sense. And I think that he's got to keep himself under control. I say this all the time. Jimmy Butler plays white hot. He's a big time competitor, but he doesn't freak out. Most players in the NBA probably, I think, are very, very competitive. And there's a hell of a lot of players who are as competitive or more competitive than Draymond Green, and they don't do that, especially as they get older. Young players may. Young players bitch and moan and scream. And the thing I always say after these things is, where has it ever gotten you? Like, if I was Steve Kerr, and I know that you're not being rational because you're on a basketball court and you're running red hot and all those kind of things, but the thing I would ask Draymond Green, and he could never give me a good answer, where has this ever gotten you? Where's being demonstrative towards an official gotten you, or screaming at an official, or saying they're wrong, or running to them after every play, or continuing to talk? And, you know, even if you're walking away and you're talking and cursing or whatever it is you're doing, what has that ever gotten you? Have you ever gotten a favorable call? You've sure